In just a few short weeks, Anthology Together is bringing you the best of ed tech at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida. Join the global education community to hear about what's next in the future of learning, get a firsthand look at the latest innovations, and discover new insights to help both your institution and students achieve their goals. The future of learning is here, and there's no better place to see it than at Anthology Together 2022. The event kicks off on July 11th, so register today at www.anthology.com/together. Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the EdUp Experience podcast, where we make education your business. Dr. Joe Sallustio back with you again, and I have to tell you guys, I always say I'm very excited. I go back and listen to these episodes and I always go, I'm very excited for our guest today. But I have to tell you, today is really a special one because the person that I have on today is doing some and leading some innovative work with a foundation, and it's work that has just been released. So I feel like we're one of the first people and first outlets to pick this up and talk about what I think is one of the most critical, if not the most critical issue facing our people who are getting an education, and maybe one of the issues of our time that has to be solved in society. It's kind of a big lead up. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen. I gotta get her ready. Her name is Sheila Barron. She's former chair of the FDIC and senior advisor to the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. Sheila, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
You know what? You're a leading voice on student debt issues and college affordability. And you're here to talk about something special that you have been working on. And I'm just going to open it up and say, what have you been doing?
Okay. Well, I've been working with the PG Peterson Foundation for a while now on a new initiative called Student Debt Smarter. And it's just studentdebtsmarter.org if anybody would like to log on and take a look once we're done with this podcast, studentdebtsmarter.org. Basically, it's a new tool, a new resource for students and their families to help them understand, kind of demystify the student loan process, make it a little more transparent, and most importantly, help them upfront before they commit to a financial aid package to figure out the range of debt that's really going to be affordable to them based on some pretty simple but really key factors like where they want to go to school, what they want to major in, what year they want to start, and where they think they might want to live once they graduate. Because those four factors are really determine how much money they're going to make once they graduate and what their expenses are going to be. And you put those two together, and that's what is unique about this tool. It'll estimate your income, it'll estimate your expenses, it'll tell you what you got left over and how much debt you can afford with a little extra cushion for emergency expenses and things. So very easy to use. You don't need to put any personal financial information into it. Nobody's going to take your information and share it or sell it to anybody else. You can put as many different inputs that, you know, when we see what it looks like to go to Harvard with a psychology major and live in Ames, Iowa, or, you know, you want to go to University of Oregon and major in agriculture and live in Topeka, Kansas. I mean, any number of combinations you can put in. It's really fun for young people like this, you know, what are their dreams? What are they thinking about? And see how that kind of impact that's going to have on their income and expenses and how much debt they can afford. So I'm really excited about it. We tested it out with a lot of high school students before we launched it. They responded very well. And I think school administrators and parents and others will also find it helpful too, because it's just so simple and easy to use.
So why is this such an important issue for you personally? And why get involved in helping solve, you know, when you say demystify the student aid process, the implication, of course, that it is a big mystery, which of course it is. So why is it personal to you? And why is this an important for students, families, and our society?
Yeah, well, I mean, your just comment there about student aid underscores, I think, one of the issues, which is when we talk about student loans, we talk about it like it's federal aid, student aid. It's not really aid. I mean, you know, I'm a former bank regulator. If a bank told a customer coming in the door that their loan was aid, I would probably have slapped a fine on them. So that's really not, it's a loan. You know, it's a loan. Understand it's a loan. It's good debt because you get a good college education, you're going to increase your earnings potential. So it's we don't discourage borrowing at all. We just want it to be affordable. And so that's point number one. It's their first experience with student debt. Most young people will not have had any experience with debt. So student debt is going to be their first experience. They don't understand necessarily the fundamentals, which is it's a legal obligation you're going to have to repay once you graduate. It's going to be a burden on your financial future. You know, you're going to maybe several hundred dollars a month you're going to have to pay down on that loan. That's money you're not going to be able to spend on other things. So that's really what this calculator is designed to bring home, not discourage borrowing at all, but just to help demystify it, understand this is what it is, you're going to have to pay it back, this is what's going to cost you, and this is what we think you can afford.
It's funny that you say the aid word, and I'm thinking to myself that, you know, of course I work in higher education. And for many of us that do work in higher education, it's like we take any money that exists and we put it around this word aid, and aid means help.
Right.
But yeah. Giving a loan is only some help. Giving a Pell Grant might be more help if you finish.
That's it. That's definitely aid. Yes.
Yeah. If a student doesn't finish, I mean, I think one of the mysteries is like you get a Pell Grant, it's, you know, quote unquote free money, and then a student doesn't finish and doesn't realize that, well, the government wants to have their money back. And that's just the way it works. So there is a lot of mystery, especially when you think about how underprepared, and this is something that comes up all the time in this podcast, how underprepared students are around financial literacy coming out of high school. I don't know if it's being taught in schools, but then you get into college and somebody puts calculations in front of you. And you know, I said this funny, but it's not. I had no, when I went to college many years ago, I had no experience with credit cards. And who got me on a college campus? Visa, to the tune of about $11,000. Because I was like, oh yeah. So financial literacy is a real problem. Do you think that this is going to help bridge the gap for students and parents to say, you know, maybe we're not as financially literate as we need to be, but now here's a tool that puts these numbers in front of us in a way that we can understand them?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. And so in bringing home that these decisions have financial consequences, I think that's so important. And again, students don't, or and their families don't always think about it in these terms, and they really should think about it in those terms. So yeah, financial literacy generally is a problem in this country. It always has been. I actually write kids' books. I have a series of children's books called Money Tales. One of my favorites is Billy the Borrowing Blue-Footed Booby, which is about a blue-footed booby on the Galapagos Islands who gets way in over his head on a BNPL, buy now, pay later scam. So, but it's about, you know, it's about debt and compounding. And if you don't pay it back, it gets bigger and bigger. And just those, what's principal, what's interest, all those basic fundamentals, really, they should be taught at elementary school. Every elementary school child should know the basics of what debt means, what interest principal is, you know, the burden, the obligation of repayment. Those are things we do not bring home. And so when young people start going to college, they're very ill prepared for this huge financial decision they need to be making, because with tuition costs the way they are now, a lot of people have to borrow. I hate it. I wish more colleges would exercise more restraint on their tuition increases and room and board, and everything keeps going up and inflation is going to be making that worse. But you know, that's going to make even harder for kids to go to school without borrowing. And we just want to make sure they keep it within affordable parameters, so they don't have that financial hardship that so many millions have now once they graduate.
So, you know, when you, studentdebtsmarter.org, it's important that we were going to say it a bunch of times here, because it is an actual, it is a really cool website. It is very user friendly, which I think, you know, when you talk about you're talking about a range of potential users, so it better be easy, because you could have the most advanced user and the most, you know, maybe somebody from a underprivileged background that's, you know, getting on a site like this for the first time. And so do you see something like this helping with equity, diversity, inclusion, because it's making college access more visible? Because the onus is almost on the university. You know, the university's got to be the one that says, okay, here are how much it's going to cost. And I will tell you, and many people will not agree with me, which of course is not new for the EdUp Experience podcast, but universities don't typically do a good job with transparency around cost,
right?
There's this whole discounting thing that's a big game. Boy, is it a game. And we all play it because we all play it. And that it makes it very confusing for the student to know how much is loans, how much is scholarship, and what do I actually have to pay? Going to buy a car is easier than going through financial aid sometimes.
Oh, it absolutely is. Well, I'm hoping, and I'm a former college president, so I know, and I try to see.
Oh, so you're familiar with some of the bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah. And So it is hard. And but this tool, one way that a family can use this, if their students starting to apply for college or has a financial aid offer, use a tool and it says, you know, you shouldn't borrow more than $40,000 total for this degree at this school. You just shouldn't do it. It's not going to be affordable. They can take that. And I want them to take that to their school financial aid office, and a good school will work with them, and they can say, look, we don't want her to graduate with more than $40,000 a debt, which might be about $10,000 a year. So, and that's not going to cover tuition at most schools anymore. Let's face it, unfortunately, it's not. So what else can you do for us? We've got some savings. We can contribute something. Work studies, scholarships, discounts. Have a conversation with financial aid office and see if you can get that. You can have a package that will keep your debt to what the calculator, roughly what the calculator is telling you. But I think this will be empowering for families because it's very, very confusing. This is a simple metric. I don't want my student to graduate with more than this amount of debt, right? In 4 years, that's what the debt we want to have her have. That's a very straightforward conversation you can have with financial aid offices. And I think that will help them too. I think just a very straightforward conversation so students don't feel like they've been ripped off or, you know, misled. That's the last thing a school wants.
It's interesting too, because the way you're talking about it, and you think about this from a business context, in consumer, in business, you're really putting this student debt, smarter.org does put a little bit of leverage back into the hands of the consumer to be able to take this, go to a college and say, look, here's what I can afford. Here's what I can do. How can you help? And if you can't, maybe somebody else can. That can be a nightmare for colleges, right? Because as the business, well, our colleges businesses, I don't know, it depends on who you talk to, but they run like businesses, or at least should. So they're trying to recruit this consumer to their business. And historically, colleges have had all the leverage. You know, you want to come in here? We'll see if we can let you in, you know? So this puts some buying power back in the hands of the consumer. Yeah.
Well, it does, you know, and some counseling too. I mean, I think, you know, there are other options. For instance, different majors will have different likely projected incomes once you graduate. So look, you know, if somebody wants to graduate, I majored in philosophy. That was, I barely made anything. I went to law school. So, but you know, so if you want to do that, fine, but understand that major, some of these majors, they're wonderful, but they're not going to give you a lot of graduate income or post-graduation income. You're probably going to have to go to graduate school or just accept a low-paying job. So don't borrow a lot for those degrees. Or maybe you'll think about going to a lower-cost school, or maybe you'll think about having a STEM major too, you know, math combined with philosophy. That will increase your projected income. So it can also precipitate those types of discussions, which I think, you know, again, I want kids to pursue their dreams, but I also want them to be realistic about, you know, they're going to have to go out and live at some point and make money and stand on their own. And they need to be realistic about how well their education is going to prepare them for that.
Anthology Together is one of the world's largest education events, bringing faculty and administrators together to share best practices, testimonials, and creative solutions using technology. Join your university colleagues for a week of networking and learning at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida, this July. Yeah, it's easy to get carried away in you know, colleges and in general, you know, there's a little bit of mystery, you know, man or woman behind the curtain, and how these decisions get made at these colleges and universities. Of course, as somebody who works in higher ed, you see behind the curtain, but for the average consumer, a lot of times they just wonder. I want to read just a little bit of an excerpt because I think this is an important part. This site didn't come out of thin air. It's not like it was, you just sat down with the PG Peterson Foundation and just created this site out of nowhere. There were so many partnerships and so many people involved. I want to read this and then have you just tell me about it. In creating Student Debt Smarter, the nonpartisan Peter G. Peterson Foundation collaborated with the Bipartisan Policy Center, the Institute for College Access and Success, Moody's, the American Enterprise Institute, and the Center for American Progress. Why were those partnerships in creating this site so important?
Well, Moody's Analytics is a very, very well-known economics analysis firm that has wonderful modeling capabilities. So we wanted there to be a lot of integrity around the model we use to project the income and the expenses. And so, and also to take into account economic conditions, because that can influence how much money you're going to be making once you graduate. And that can have a regional impact too. So Moody's has this amazing database they really helped us, especially on the expense side. Mark Zandi, somebody well-known, well-respected, who runs Moody's Analytics. We've all known him for many years, and we were happy to have his partnership. TCAS was there because if you go on the website, so there's a calculator, and we've been talking about that, but the website's really a wealth of other information. And TCAS helped us put together in very simple explanations, just the process itself, you know, the FAFSA, all of this. There's also information about income-driven repayment plans. Now, our calculator is based on the 10-year repayment, which is the default option. That's still what students will be defaulted into unless they, you know, opt for an IDR. We have more information on income-driven repayments. I mean, I think the downside on that, though, is that unless you're in public service, you're looking at 20, 25 years potentially. And I don't think most people want, I think most young people, that was something else we got from our focus groups. They want to pay this off in 10 years. They don't want this debt hanging on forever. So we do have a 10-year, that's the 10-year repayment. TCAS helped us explain all these different programs and then just the student aid process. And TCAS is a wonderful organization. They've done a lot to try to advocate for greater transparency and simplicity in student loans. And then CAP and AEI, we thought young people would also be interested in policy recommendations are being made now to make the student loan system work better, because obviously there are a lot of problems with it right now. So, and we were scrupulously, you know, nonpartisan and non-ideological about that. So CAP and AEI are, you know, one's moderate left, one's moderate right. They presented different arguments and pros and cons and a bit of analysis around things like, you know, ISAs, debt cancellation. So there's information about those policy debates without taking a position on the side if young people or their families would like to look at that. And then the Bipartisan Policy Center put together a really interesting analysis for us that actually this is on the homepage of the Peterson Foundation about the fiscal consequences of our student debt program. So this is really, this is a separate debate that's going on, but that the focus of Student Debt Smarter is on affordability for families and the children. But nonetheless, we thought that some would like to have, you know, there's so much commentary about this. Some would like, you know, some more information about the fiscal consequences of student debt. And so BPC did that analysis for us, and that's linked to the homepage of Peterson if people would be interested in reading that. So yeah, I mean, these are great people, wonderful organizations, all coming together on this initiative. And again, I'm really, really excited about it. I think, and thank you so much for helping us get the word out, because I think it's going to be tremendously helpful to student borrowers and the families.
Amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you think about the student debt problem that we have. And one of the questions that has always come up is how do you solve the problem if you can't? It's like a fire hose with water that won't turn off. Yeah. It's like yeah. You might be able to run away from the end, but the water's going to keep coming out. You got to close that funnel. One way to do that is to educate people at the front end. Maybe yes. You can't solve the $1 trillion problem as it exists now with one swoop, but you have to have people borrow smarter, which means borrowing less because they understand the responsibility. Go back to those focus groups, because I do find, and when I interact with students through this podcast or those, there's just an adversity to taking on debt. I mean, my parents are like, take on some debt. It's good. You know, my dad says it'll grow hair on your chest. You know, you get into debt a little bit and you'll learn how to pay it off. Students today, Gen Z, they don't want debt. They don't want to owe. Yeah. And it's like getting hit with slime or something. Yeah. It's like, you know, gross. Yeah. For them. Yep. So talk about that. Was that the feeling from the focus group?
Yeah, I think that there was some reaction along those lines. I think there's certainly, you know, that not being wild about the idea of taking on debt and certainly not wanting to have the payments go on forever, which so many student borrowers find themselves in these days. So yeah, I think there is an aversion to it. At the same time, there's not a lot of understanding around it too. So take those two things, it's a bit of a challenge. Another nice thing about this tool is it will tell you what the maximum you can borrow and still have an affordable payment. But if you want to borrow less, so let's say the calculator says, okay, we think with this major living in this town, you can 10-year repayment, you can afford $40,000. But if you think maybe I only want to take out $20,000, you can put that in and it will show you what your monthly payment is going to be and what that monthly payment be was a percentage of your take-home pay. So it's got that extra feature. If you want to borrow less, you certainly don't have to borrow everything that the calculator says you can afford. If you want to borrow less, you can put that in and get a sense of what your payment's going to be and what percentage of your expenses that will reflect.
One point we didn't bring up that I think is super important is the college choice piece, or I'm sorry, the majors choice piece, where you can compare different majors and different programs. We know, especially when, let's take adult students out, because an adult who's going back to school probably knows what they're looking at. They've got some experience and maturity. Versus a student who's coming out of high school, we know some crazy percentage, like 50% of students choose undecided because they don't know what they want to do. Nor do we expect, maybe we have too many expectations on a 17 or 18 year old to know what they want to be when they grow up. And so students end up getting into debt or picking a school based on a school. Maybe they should choose it based on a program. And being able to say, hey, look, what does an engineer make when they grow up? And what does a, you know, a clinical psychologist make if I go that route? You know what? Earnings plays a lot in my decision. And so that's an important part of this. It's not just solving debt. It's solving for choice, which is solving for debt, don't you think, for programs?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the bigger factors, there's lots of research on this, program actually more than school will determine what your income will be after you graduate. So there may not be that much of a difference between, you know, an engineering degree at an Ivy League versus a really good state university. Some state universities actually have higher income. So the name schools aren't necessarily a guarantee of high income. And it's really a function of major. But again, this tool will help you compare, you know, what's a math degree from Harvard versus a math degree from Iowa University. You can compare that and see what the outcomes are, which is another, again, very brings home your point, which is the major is going to matter more than the school. So maybe you want to choose, if you don't want to borrow a lot, maybe you want to choose a lesser expensive school.
This is a huge development for the industry, I think, in higher ed. What do you think the impact is going to be? Have you talked with the PG Peterson Foundation and say, here's what we want? Is widespread usage as humanly possible? Do you think schools might offer it to students as a part of onboarding? Like, have you talked about the different avenues that it could possibly go?
Yeah, well, we have. We've talked a lot about that, and our partners, especially TKS, are helping us distribute the all the information to colleges and also high school counselors. You know, I think groups, you know, junior achievement, those that have, you know, college bound age students, those are the kinds of groups we're trying to reach out to. And yes, and we are this podcast is part of that. I want to go out and talk to as many people as I can about this, because I think it's going to help so many young people. And I see what's going on now with so many in over their head with debt, this whole debate about debt cancellation. There's no easy answer on that. All I know is that we can do better in going forward. Let's, this one simple, easy tool really empowers students at an individual level to avoid getting to the kind of trouble we're seeing with so many student borrowers today. And I think that's huge. And I hope we can all agree that regardless of what you think about debt cancellation, going forward, let's try to make sure this doesn't happen again. And let's empower students to get smart about their debt.
So, okay. So final two questions here, Sheila, because this, man, I love it. By the way, had a little bit of an advanced look at the site and got to play with it. About 30 minutes later, I was like, oh, I compared this to this. And so I got wrapped up into it because I was impressed with the amount of information. What do you want to say about Student Debt Smarter that we didn't say? Is there anything that you want to note, any speaking engagements you have coming up, anything going on with the foundation, anything at all about Student Debt Smarter and where it's going? And then secondarily to that, tell me, because this is going to be unique for you, what do you see as the future of higher education?
Oh, those are two big questions. Well, I think that the website and the calculator itself speaks for itself. So I think the most powerful marketing tool we have is just, studentdebtsmarter.org.
Go to the site,
go to the calculator, look at the materials, play around with the calculator, see how simple and easy it is. I think it's intuitive that what it's worth is and the kind of empowering information this will have for students and their families. And if there are, I just did something with Yahoo Finance earlier today, and there's an op-ed that's been getting some good circulation. And so I'm going to go out there and keep talking about it. If you have a group that would like to hear me speak, I would be happy to engage with you. So
I'm going to become Sheila's default manager here at the EdUp Experience. You have to go through.
All right. Well, anyway,
we'll hook you up with Sheila if you want her to come speak about it.
And the future of higher education, look, I think, look, we have, we got some problems now, but I still think America's higher education system is the best in the world, but it is at risk. It is at risk. As you say, it's becoming a little more too much like a business, not enough like an educational institution. I don't like the fact that you know, schools these days are basically in the position of loan originators, because that's, you know, that they're not equipped for that. And God Yikes. Bless them, this is all well-intentioned, but you know, it's they're not, that's not their business. And so I think there has been some confusion and not lack of clarity around the debt obligations that young people are having. So we need to get that under control. We need to get cost under control. We need to explore more experiential learning. We need to, you know, we want kids to have a wonderful, meaningful education. We also want them to have good jobs, contribute to the labor force, contribute to the economy. That's why the federal government spends all this money. That's the public policy reason underpinning our student support for higher ed is our labor force needs, which is beneficial to the entire economy, not just the people that go to college. So I think that's really, you're seeing more and more colleges getting focused on that, partnering with businesses, making sure that there's a hands-on practical experience as part of their education, but at the same time, preserving the integrity of liberal arts. As I said, you know, I'm a philosophy major. Philosophy was not a degree that got me any kind of job, but I tell you, it taught me how to think, and it gave me a moral code, which I think so helped me later in my career. So again, I celebrate those majors too. I just want kids to understand that you're probably gonna have to go to graduate school or get another degree, because the job of producing credential is not great. But and please, colleges, help them understand that they need to be prepared once they graduate. Once they leave you, it's your obligation to make sure they're prepared.
Well, we'll leave it at that, ladies and gents. Sheila is passionate with a capital P about this issue, studentdebtsmarter.org. I would connect with her on LinkedIn or otherwise. She will speak very succinctly and eloquently about the student debt issues that we're facing and very well about what we can do about it. It's been an honor to have you here. Of course, she is Sheila Bair, and she's former chair of the FDIC. Senior advisor to the P.G. Peterson Foundation. Sheila, has been awesome to have you. Thank you for coming on this podcast.
I've enjoyed it a lot, and I thank you for not gonging me.
No, you don't get the gong. You're going to get all sorts of good stuff. Oh, I got this one for you. On the way out, ladies and gentlemen.
Fire.
She's Sheila, and she's on.
Fire.
You've just ed-upped. Anthology is leading the next wave of edtech innovation and unlocking student success on an entirely new scale. Ready to take a closer look at what's next in the future of learning? Join fellow faculty and higher ed experts for Anthology Together, one of the world's largest education events, taking place next month at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida. Anthology Together features some of the most innovative professionals from the global education community sharing insights and best practices for institutional and learner success, both inside and outside of the classroom. Register today and attend tailored sessions on topics like creating more dynamic courses for your learners and strategic decision-making across recruitment, admissions, and enrollment. The time is now. Visit www.anthology.com/together and reserve your spot before the event kicks off on July 11th.